The opinions expressed on the Sports Bunch are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening and enjoy.
And welcome to yet another beautiful sunny day in the Sports Bunch world.
Yes, indeed.
I'm joined by
Muhammad Ali and my beautiful co-host. Ethan Derek Clark.
Wow. Tempo's booming.
Yeah, exactly. What's the topic for today, Ethan?
Topic is upsets. Greatest upsets in sports history. Ones that transcended sports, that just went so beyond sports.
That influenced cities.
Cities, the culture.
Changed people's minds. Broke droughts. Drought. Fed the people.
Yes.
Some say.
Some might say. Can I go first? I want to get things
started. Yeah, shoot it off. Hey, start it off, man. I like that. Start us off.
I'm going to touch into soccer a bit. Or ooh, football.
A little footy.
As the masses say. And this is an oldie. 1950 World Cup Final in Rio de Janeiro. Do you remember where you were in 1950?
Probably still in my dad's balls.
Okay, nice.
Noted.
Well, this final was taking place between Brazil and Uruguay. And this is a final that everyone had already locked up, okay? They were like, Brazil's gonna win this. They've got this. They were so confident. They engraved Brazil's name in the medals and trophy before the game even started. Isn't that insane?
That's nuts.
The newspapers wrote in their headlines, Brazil champions, before the game even started. Before any of this. And it did not go like that. Although Brazil were clear favorites, they set a record scoring 40 plus goals in that World Cup. There were people planning celebrations, planning parades. They were writing songs celebrating Brazil's win.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not what happened, okay. The tiny population of Uruguay, with a small population but a massive heart, would go on to come from behind 1-0. To win it 2-1 in what some might say is the greatest upset ever. A stadium filled with over 200,000 fans. The Maracana, as they call it, which stills the record for largest stadium for a soccer game. And in the 47th minute, Brazil scored first. It looked like it was going their way. But Uruguay came back. Equalizing the 66th minute, Juan Alberto Sheffiano.
Mm-hmm.
And then with 11 minutes left, Alcides Gigaya beat goalkeeper. Oh, wow, these names. Beat Brazilian goalkeeper Moika Barbosa to make it 2-1. And the crowd went silent. A pin could drop in that needle. You know, the man who scored the winning goal said, there are only three people ever who silenced the Maracana, the stadium. Frank Sinatra, the Pope, and himself. And this game had immense effects on just Brazil, the country, South America as a whole. You know, many people blame Brazil's goalkeeper, Barbosa. He was shunned from the country, shunned. They wouldn't let him back in.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
They banned him.
They banned him. They banned him from playing for Brazil. They banned him from entering the facilities. He couldn't go out in public. They hated him. So, and he even died on his deathbed saying he was never forgiven for that final. Insane. And the word Maracanzo and even entered the language, the Brazilian Portuguese language.
Wow.
And this loss was so bad. So tell me, what do Brazil's jerseys look like? What color are they?
They're like yellow and green.
Exactly. Before that, they were white, but this loss was so bad.
They have to change their colors.
They have to change the color of their jerseys to just try and erase this out of history.
Wow.
And that is what they did, changing it from white to yellow. But, yeah, I think it was just an insane loss, one that I'd never seen have such a magnitude like this. You know, there's even a story of the captain of Uruguay consoling Brazilians in bars after the game because they were so in shock. And it was just crazy. And I had never heard of an upset like this in my lifetime. But, yeah, that's what I got to say about the 1950 World Cup final.
Massive.
Did Pelé play in that? Let me just do a quick Google search. I'm just curious. Did Pelé play in the 1950? Because, you know, Donald Trump's a big Pelé fan. I don't know if you've been watching the news, but...
Really?
Anytime he talks about...
He knows ball sometimes, man.
Yeah, I guess that was his players. Did you know, fun fact, Pelé played in Toronto. He played at, not BMO Field, I think.
Really?
But he did play an exhibition game with Brazil in Toronto. So, fun fact. But yeah, that's my upset.
We're going to look more local for mines.
Local.
Not too local, but local enough.
I don't know, sometimes I can walk down.
Huh?
Blower Street and get some Brazilian.
Yeah?
Culture.
Well, you're going to have to walk a little further than Bloor to get to where I'm going.
Yes.
You need to go to the great state of Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
There you'll find a little city called Boston. Is Boston in Massachusetts?
Boston.
I'm pretty sure it is, right?
It's what?
Boston's in Massachusetts,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
New England area.
Yeah, exactly. The greater New England area.
Yes.
You'll find a little humble team named the Boston Red Sox.
Shout out.
This is one of the greatest comebacks in, well, I want to say postseason, MLB postseason histories. And now that I said that, I'm sure everyone knows what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the 2004 ALCS championship against the New York Yankees, their biggest rivals.
Yeah.
No team in MLB history did a 3-0 comeback in a best of seven game. And Boston wasn't going up against any team. They're going against, you know, the Yankees in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows how good they were.
Exactly.
They just broke their hearts last year.
Mm-hmm.
And this was extra important because they still had that Curse of the Bambino.
I was literally thinking in my head. I was
exactly.
Like, the Curse of the Bambino.
The Curse of the Bambino. They have the Curse of the Bambino.
And this broke
last win was in 1918.
1918?
Yep.
I thought you were going to say like 1960, 70, 18.
18, yes.
Wow.
And like I said,
so
they just.
Years.
Yeah. And just like that, and like I said, they lost to the Yankees just a year before in 2003 in a crushing fashion. So whenever the people of Boston went down 3-0.
Yeah.
Heck, if I went down 3-0, I'd start packing my bag, start sending my car back to Florida and say, hey, man, it's over.
That's you know? What separates the great.
Exactly.
The
I would start saying my car back is and say it's over, but it's not. The Boston Red Sox sort of did the greatest comeback in game four, that Dave Roberts steal seconds.
Didn't David Ortiz hit a home run?
That was game five.
Game five, yeah.
Game five, walk off.
Yes, yes.
No, it was a hit. Walk off hit?
Okay.
I'm sure he had a walk off homer sometime.
Yeah, I have memories of a home run.
Exactly. It's David Ortiz. He's definitely done it.
Big Papi.
Yeah. In game four, the Red Sox were down 4-3 in the bottom of the ninth inning, facing the greatest reliever of all time, Mariano Rivera.
Uh-huh. Questionable career.
What do you mean?
You know the scandal he has with, like,
what?
The priest?
No, tell me.
That's for a different day. I don't think that's even appropriate to talk on here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, he is still one of the greatest relievers, you know, baseball.
Has seen.
Focused. So yes. Kevin Millar drew a walk, and then Dave Roberts came in as his substitute for pitch running. And everyone in that stadium knew, Derek Jeter knew, the catcher knew, the pitcher knew, everyone knew, that Dave Roberts was only going into that game to steal second. He didn't even try to hide it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was off of literally an inch. And Dave Roberts ended up stealing second. And long story short, Dave Ortiz hit a walk-off home run in extra innings.
Wow. Yeah.
So there it was.
So he didn't even need to steal.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that steal tied the game.
Oh, okay.
Tied the game in the ninth inning, which went to extras. And Dave Ortiz hit a walk-off home run to push him to get one more game in Boston, where they won game five again in extra innings with another David Ortiz walk-off hit this time, pushing that to Yankee Stadium, where the Boston Red Sox took game six and then game seven to complete that comeback, which was the first 3-0 comeback in MLB history.
Wow.
And that they didn't just end there. They ended up sweeping the Cardinals in the World Series, ending their 86-year champion drought.
Wow, bro. There's fans lived a whole life and never got to see
some
that,
people
man.
Died Yeah. Some people died.
Yeah, that's why you gotta savor it, man. Like, you always have to savor it. Don't take it for granted.
Dave Roberts is attributed to winning this chip in his own way. Mm-hmm. And now he's tormenting the ALC, the AL East in a different way. Mm-hmm. By his champion Dodgers beating us up every year.
That's true. Now, was Aaron Boone a part of that?
I'm sure he was.
Yeah, because now he's on the Yankees.
Sure, he was always on the Yankees.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy
how life works.
So Babe Ruth was that old. That's why I made it clear.
Yeah, I'm sure Babe Ruth was long time dead.
Yeah, no, not that he was alive. Okay. Like, he's a much older character than I believed he was.
Yeah.
Going back 86 years.
So, yeah, that was the 2004 Boston Red Sox ALCS.
2004. Man, what a time.
What a time.
Be alive. So, really, you really painted that scene, you know, the guys coming back. They faced against, like, the Grim Reaper and Mariano Rivera, mm-hmm. all down to this, the guy who they shouldn't have done well against, and they steal
word
from
is
him.
He gave up less home runs than the people who are on the moon, or whatever that is.
Yeah, he doesn't give up home runs like that. And then I guess the pressure got to him. Must have been the pressure.
Could have been, but it could also just be good game.
That's the question. If you were to do it 100 times, how many would that, how many times?
I guarantee you that they lose a lot more. It was the bottom of the lineup who made them pay.
Bottom of the lineup? Oh, wow. That's crazy. Right? That's like if... Who the hell is it?
Well, the lineup turned over and...
So the bottom line got to the top of the lineup?
Yeah.
Okay, I see.
Okay. If I'm not mistaken. But let's talk about yours. What do you have in store for us?
Keeping it in America because we just love America so much on this channel. We just love the Americans here.
Hey, last episode we talked about a bunch of Canadians.
That's true. Well, today is American. But this is, I think, this is like when you talk about upsets and impacts, this is an impact. We're talking about the Miracle on Ice. Ooh. The statement, I think, so much people have heard of. Not many people know the story of it, but today you will. The Miracle on Ice was a hockey game during the 1980 Winter Olympics in Lake Placid, New York. It was between your United States of America and the Soviet Union on February 22nd, 1980. During the medal round, this is not the gold medal as many people believe it to be. This was just the medal round. So to paint this scene, right? The Soviet Union, at the time, you weren't allowed to use professional players, just like how it has been for like the past couple of Olympics. But Soviet Union found a way to circumvent this, and they found a hack to manipulate this, mm-hmm. and they got their professional players. Everyone else did not have pros. And the USA had this team of just amateurs, like 21-year-olds and younger. That's like if I took a bunch of college players, junior players, mm-hmm. in today's game, brought them to them and said, hey, you're going up against Team Canada. Do your best work.
You want you to fight against grown men.
Yes. And that's what, well... The American juniors and amateurs did their thing, you know. They played a hard-fought game against the Soviet Union and ended up upsetting them 4-3. What makes it even crazier is that the Soviets had won 4 gold medals in the past, were extremely heavily favored, and I'm pretty sure they won, like, the past 6 medals out of, like, 8 or something like that. Like, they were dominant. They were the big, scary guys of that time. And they fortunately lost to this USA team. And then this was such a big moment, such a big upset, that got turned into a movie, The Miracle on Ice.
Yes, I saw that on Netflix.
You watched it on Netflix?
No, I have not watched it.
You saw like the picture.
Saw the picture, Miracle on Ice.
Yes.
It's too American for me.
Too American. Propaganda.
Exactly.
But apparently it makes people quite wearied eye, gives people hope that, you know, no matter what the circumstance may be, they can do it. We all can do it.
Aw.
But it was quite an upset, probably one that had the greatest impact on American culture and gave hope to millions of Americans worldwide, just like you and I.
Aw, Americans.
But in addition, United States had the youngest team at the tournament and the youngest in USA national team history. And both the Soviet and American teams were undefeated in the group stage. So this was even a more surprising result. And then USA would go on to beat Finland in the gold medal game. So... that is the Miracle on Ice. If you've ever wanted to know about it. Now you do. Now you do. Now you can go tell your friends all the fun facts about it.
Talk about my last one that I have here.
Well, we got to work on our segues.
But
we got to brush up on our segues next episode.
Well, I thought that was a good segue.
I talk sweeter fruit and then, all right, next one.
Sweeter fruit?
You should have been like, well, what team are you talking about?
Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, it should have been like the sweet fruit that the Cavaliers fought so hard for.
we'll shelve it. We'll check on that one. Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess.
Yeah. What even was a Cavalier?
I don't even know what a Cavalier is.
What is a Cavalier?
But speaking about the Cavaliers,
5 minutes
in 2016, not one of the greatest in basketball, the greatest sports comeback in, I want to say history. That meant something to me. I was a Kyrie fan. Uh-huh. I'm always a Kyrie fan. I don't even want to say was. I still am. Mm-hmm. And that was something that's like me winning that trophy in 2016. You know. That meant something to me.
You were hugging the TV screen.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, we did it. You know, you know those memes where they say, "Who is he?"
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. Drake in Kansas locker room. Was that Duke locker room?
Yes. Yeah. Duke.
It was in Duke's locker room.
No,
yeah.
Kansas. No.
It's one of the two.
One a blue and white team.
Blue and white
Kansas,
team.
Kansas. Yes, yeah.
He was in that locker room. It's like that's like me. Who is he?
I still don't get why they did that.
Why they let him in there?
That's such a make-a-wish thing to do.
Well, let's get back on track. The Cavaliers were down 3-1 against the Warriors, the greatest regular season team in NBA history.
Yeah.
And they had no excuse to lose. They were 73-9.
Mm-hmm.
No team have ever came back from a deficit in 3-1 in NBA Finals history. Cleveland. No,
I think. Oh, NBA Finals. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
The infamous photo, of LeBron.
Yeah, exactly.
Sunglasses. That's my favorite picture ever.
Yeah, it is one of the greatest ones.
Every time a team is down 3-1 in the playoffs, now they just Photoshop their face.
Stiddy. Jared Stidham.
Oh, okay, yes.
LeBron and Kyrie Irving would not let this series end. When they're down to 3-1, they won game 5 and they won game 6 at home, forced a game 7 in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And in that final game, everything came back to a few unforgettable, you know, possessions. Everyone knows it. The famous, infamous block.
Block by James!
Against Andre Iguodala.
Iguodala taking the shot.
Huh? Iguodala taking that shot, Matt. One of the most greatest defensive plays in NBA history. And then, obviously, everyone knows about that Kyrie cold-blooded three-pointer over Stephen Curry. The Cavaliers won that game 93-89 and captured the first championship in franchise history. Yes. It was also Cleveland's first major sports title in decades.
Wow, yeah. They only got two options. Well,
yeah,
three
they
options,
only got two.
Sorry. Guardians now.
Oh, yeah, they do have three. And Guardians weren't bad, man. Guardians aren't bad.
Yeah.
What makes this comeback so legendary is not just that Cleveland's what makes it so legendary is just not that Cleveland won. Uh-huh. It's who they beat. No one expected them to win.
Not a single soul.
You know? They had MVP, the unanimous MVP, yeah, Stephen Curry.
Yeah. It was a perfect season. Perfect.
It was a perfect season. And now people don't care that they lost. They still say they're the greatest
team.
See,
I told you this point about it. We only care about the winners, not the losers.
Nobody cares that they lost about it, though.
Yeah.
Like, they still say that 2016 team is one of the greatest teams ever.
No, I've never heard anyone say that.
I care about that team.
I heard nobody say that.
I care about
LeBron
that team.
LeBron stained that legacy now. It's over. But you know something interesting about the block? It's far more nuanced than LeBron just running down the court and slapping them. Like, I saw this video about how, I think it was J.R. Smith, was like halfway on the court, and like he stuck his arm out or did something, and he slightly changed Iguodala's trajectory to the point where like he couldn't just easily up. He had to go like up and under, and that gave LeBron just the tiniest amount of room and space to get there in time for that block. So it was like, that's why I love sports, man. It's all these little details, all these little things that you don't notice that have this impact in things.
So did J.R. Smith win them that championship?
Maybe.
It's just insane that Cleveland found a way to take three straight games against such an unbelievable team. Mm-hmm. It launched LeBron James into undeniable legendary category even back then.
Yeah,
there was back then they would argue, hey, LeBron or MJ. Now it's just LeBron. You know,
well, I don't know if it's
I'm saying that. I'm saying
that's what the streets are saying.
The streets are saying the same thing. Hey man, we're done with the '90s. We're done with the '90s,
You know, this is like Ninja Fortnite. You know, like Ninja's Jordan, and all these exactly. kids are LeBron.
LeBron James.
Exactly. Like they don't know what it was like back then. Okay, he was revolutionary.
You don't understand how good he was.
Exactly.
I'm ending out there. Everyone knows how great that series was.
Yes.
One of the most greatest series of all time.
And I didn't even watch it. I was in a sports fan.
Really?
Not a basketball fan.
I was watching that. Like, I was a casual watching that. Like, I was just watching that for Kyrie Irving, you know? Uh-huh. I didn't understand how great that was, though.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, we were so young back then. How old were we?
12. Yeah, 12. So they didn't understand the magnitude of it. I was watching hockey. You don't
think about how big that is, but that was truly one of the greatest moments. And that changed who I was forever.
Had an impact on your life.
Yeah.
In what way?
Well, now before I was walking around, I'm like Kyrie Irving is a champion, and now Kyrie Irving is NBA champion.
Feels weird. That's his only one.
I know, right? They should have won it in 2021. They should have won it in 20. Well. I think that Dallas team should have won it too.
Okay, well that's started for another.
Yeah, I know. I'll let you get to yours.
We are at our limit.
Don't you have one more?
No, I just had mine done for today.
Really?
My two, yeah. Went well. Well, thank you.
Well, how about that?
Thank you, Spirit Live audience, Sports Bunch people. Well,
thank you, fellows, for taking taking your time, 25-ish minutes out of your life, to listen to us two fellows talk ball, sports ball.
Sports ball.
Thank you. Home. Have a great day, and see you guys next Monday.
Monday, peace.